In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. For my sermon, I shall read from the book of Numbers, chapter 14, beginning with the chapter, first verse to the verse number 9. And the words are in Jesus' name as follows. And all the congregation lifted up their voice and cried, and the people wept that night. And all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron, and the whole congregation said unto them, Would God that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would God we had died in this wilderness? And wherefore hath the Lord brought us unto this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and our children should be a prey? Were it not better for us to return into Egypt? And they said one to another, Let us make a captain, and let us return into Egypt. Then Moses and Aaron fell on their faces before all the assembly of the congregation of the children of Israel. And Joshua the son of Nun, and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, which were of them that searched the land, rent their clothes. And they spake unto all the company of the children of Israel, saying, The land which we passed through to search it is an exceeding good land, and if the Lord delight in us, then he will bring us into this land and give it to us, a land which floweth with milk and honey. Only rebel not against ye the Lord, neither fear ye the people of the land, for they are bread for us. Their defense is departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Fear them not. And the congregation cried, and the people wept that night. When did this happen? What is this talking about? In this same book of Numbers, in the previous chapter, it talks about what happened before this, the event that preceded it, and how even before that, it tells us about how the nation of Israel, or the Israelites, who had been held in bondage in Egypt, had, through the miraculous help of God, had been able to escape from there. They had been traveling, they had journeyed through the desert, and their destination was the promised land. And then this nation approached the borders of the promised land, and as the chapter before us tells us, they sent 12 spies, 12 people to study the land. The nation of Israel was comprised of 12 tribes, and one man was selected from each tribe to go on this reconnaissance mission. And these men who were seeking information were traveling for 40 days in that land. They examined it, they studied it. And then it tells us that they even took a few gifts from there to those nation of Israel who were waiting for them. And they took some of the fruits of that land to show them. And they said that the land that we were sent to examine was a land that was flowing with milk and honey. And they said that this land was very fertile, or it delivered good crops. But then they said that there is a group of people there that are very strong, and the cities are very well fortified, and they are large. And that the nation that lives there is so strong and so mighty that we will not be able to enter it. And that's the point where I read my text. That's when the nation began to cry and to weep. This nation who had just seen God's miraculous works, when God gave the people of Egypt many different kinds of trials or troubles, and ultimately, or the plagues of and eventually the Pharaoh allows them to leave. And already then, on that short, brief trip through the wilderness, the children of God were able to witness many of God's miracles. For instance, they were able to cover the ocean on dry land, or the sea. And when the last person to pass through the sea, the water came back and many people drowned there. And there were numerous other miracles which the people were able to see and witness or experience. God guided their journey. It's described in this book of Numbers, but in also many other books of the Bible, it tells us about how the Lord traveled in front of them in a cloud or in a cloud of fire, so that they were able to travel. And at night he also gave them a cloud which they were able to follow, so they were able to travel day and night. In other words, this guiding cloud was present all the time for the children of God. So whenever at the moment that they woke up, they looked out and they saw that whenever that cloud was not moving, it was just standing there. They were not required to travel that day. God led the journey of the children of Israel. Now, when these scouts or spies returned and talked about what they had seen, then the children of Israel immediately forgot, in an instant, they forgot what God had promised them. And they began to cry and weep. And they murmured against Moses and against Aaron. And they said, "Would God that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would God we had died in this wilderness." They had forgotten that all things are possible with God. They thought and they believed the scouts who had told them that we won't be able to enter it, the promised land. And then there were two spies who had not yet given their own account of what they thought. It tells us that there was yet Joshua the son of Nun and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, who had also been on that trip to search the land. And they gave a different message. They gave a different greetings from that promised land. They said, the land which we pass through to search it is an exceeding good land. And if the Lord delight in us, then he will bring us into this land. And they continued and said, rebel not ye against the Lord. And we don't need to fear them, for their God has rejected them, and the Lord is with us. These spies or scouts, these 12 spies or scouts delivered two kinds of messages. One of them was a message of unbelief, one that said, we will not be able to go there. And the other message was that if the Lord delight in us, then we will be able to enter into there. Joshua and Caleb brought the message of faith. We heard from our previous sermon through the brother how even from the tomb of Jesus, there were two different kinds of messages sent out. The event was the same, just as in this case. And which one would people believe? The people began to cry and weep, and they wept all night long. These people were just like we are. Their living circumstances were different from ours. Their environment was different. They lived in a different era. Yet, as people, they were just like people of today. They believed the sermon of unbelief rather than the sermon of faith. This journey in the wilderness, that period when the Israelites traveled in the Sinai wilderness for 30 years, as it later tells us here, it is compared and conflated to, and it can be compared to the journey of a child of God today in the midst of the world. And the people who did not listen to Josh and Caleb, their message. It tells us after our text, later, it tells us in our text what happened to them. In the wilderness, in the Sinai Peninsula, they had to spend 40 years. The scouts or spies had been searching the promised land for 40 days, and so for every day that they were gone, the nation of Israel had to spend 1 year for each day. The nation of Israel had to spend 40 years in the wilderness so that not one single adult who complained at that time, who rebelled against Moses and Aaron and rebelled against God, to make sure that not one single one of them would enter the promised land. Every single one of them who had been adults at that time, they were to die in the wilderness. Here too we can see what the people were like then. They were just like people, like us. In the chapter, same chapter, a little bit later, it tells us how God had spoken to the people through Moses. and Moses and Aaron then relate what they should look forward to. And so then the nation of Israel, the Israelites, after all, decide that they will start traveling toward the Promised Land the very next morning. And they say, now we are ready to go toward that land of which the Lord spoke. But even then, they did not obey, nor were they obedient to the will of God and to the voice, to His voice. Moses warned them, do not go, for the Lord is not with you. Go not, for the enemy will kill you. But they did not obey Moses. Instead, they stubbornly climbed up the mountain, as it says here. And it tells us that the Amalekites and Canaanites who were living in the mountains, they attacked them. And they fell by the sword and made them scattered out. So by their own power, the Israelites were not able to enter the promised land. Instead, what happened was that when they did not obey the voice of God, the advice of God, then the enemy scattered them. According to God's promise, it says here, and of those men who had been on this this scouting mission, the only ones that survived were these men. And this is described in the letter to the Hebrews. We are warned, those of us that are listening to this word, believers of today and everyone today are warned about how important it is for us to be obedient to God's voice. In the letter to the Hebrews, it says, wherefore today, if ye hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation in the day of temptation in the wilderness. And then a few verses forward, it says, it tells us why this nation of Israel, even though they were traveling toward the promised land, why they were not able to enter the promised land. And it says here, with whom was the Lord angry? Unto them who fell into sin, and whose carcasses fell in the wilderness, and to whom swear he that they should not enter into his rest, but to them that believed not. So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. In this depiction of the nation of Israel, this nation has truly been on a journey in the wilderness. And everything that is recorded in the Bible here, just as elsewhere in the Bible, is true. Yet, even in this point of the scriptures, just as elsewhere, there is a lot of content which we can understand very little from the very edge, only at the edges. But even this point of God's word is reminding us people of today. It is reminding us to how important it is to listen to him, to his word in his kingdom, that is, in his kingdom. And we are on a journey. And what is the destination? We are traveling toward a promised land, toward heaven. Even at these services, I'm sure that every single sermon has included a reminder of why we are believing and what is our destination. And these services have also included an invitation to enter the kingdom of God, into the kingdom of God of grace. And the gospel is offered, and it is still offered. The destination where we believe through faith and toward which our eyes of faith gaze, it is the home of heaven. It is the glory of heaven. We know that everyone, all people who are born on earth, shall also one day leave it. We all shall die one day. Some people have very long lives. Some people have short lives. But the lives of everyone and the length of this life is known to God. And God has known this even before we were born. But what is required of us so that one day I could arrive in heaven? What is required of us personally? We are required to be obedient to that gospel which is preached through God's kingdom. We have been obedient to the call of God when it tells us today, if ye all people to hear his heart, hear his voice, and to not harden your hearts. Today, when you hear his voice, this is important to remember. This call today is still effective today. Today, we can still believe. Today, God still calls those who do not have grace. To those who have lost their living faith, which they received as a birthday gift, those who have lost their faith through sin, God still calls them, these ones, toward him. This is voluntary. Nobody can be forced to believe. This is entirely elective, yet it is personal for every single person. Faith is common to all of us, and yet it is also personal for each one of us. The text tells the people in this text that we read were traveling toward a promised land, and they were actually already close. It doesn't tell us, but I can assume that they could already actually see the promised land. Yet they were not able to enter it. And what was preventing them from entering? What was the reason? It was unbelief. They did not believe. They did not trust. They preferred to listen to that sermon of unbelief, that we will not be able to make it to the destination. The people there opposing us is too strong and too mighty. when each one of us individually, as children of God, think about when we travel, when we endeavor, and when we think of our aim and our wish, how it is to enter the heavenly home. And when we think of our enemy, has the enemy of soul ever whispered into your ear that you will not make it there? The others will arrive, but you will not. You know yourself. That's what the enemy of souls is wishing to prevent your traveling. And what is the purpose and the intention of the enemy of souls? His goal is that we would not arrive at the destination, just like it happened with these children of Israel. And just as it happened to the children of Israel, we too are able to travel by the grace of God, and we are able to carry the most precious name and the most valuable title that a person can have, which is the name of a child of God. The enemy of soul wishes to take this away from us. And today, when we hear the voice of God, it pays to be obedient to it. It's not enough, and it doesn't help to believe today and die tomorrow when we are not having living faith. Even a long journey of endeavoring does not help, because we are children of the day. Even when the children of God were traveling in the journey of the wilderness, they were given enough food only for one day. And here too, we could experience the great graciousness of God toward us, that we do not need, nor can we believe for any moment except for this moment. We don't need to believe for tomorrow. We don't need to, even though we know that we have doubts in our minds, wondering whether or not we shall arrive in heaven. Nevertheless, we do not need to doubt for tomorrow. It's enough that you and brother and sister wish to believe at this moment. That's enough. It's also not enough if I am lacking living faith in my heart to be close to believers and to go to services. It's definitely a good thing, because everyone is welcome to the services of the children of God. And this is the will of God, that people would come before His word. Even at these summer services, every single person is welcome to this site. And since it is not possible for everyone, everyone is welcome to listen before modern technology. And every single person is entitled to this grace of God. Just being close to the kingdom of God, or just being close to the children of God, they may hear from the enemy of souls. The enemy of soul may tell you that, since you know where that gospel can be found, then you can repent after you become old enough or sick enough. This is not a sermon that you should listen to, because just as it says here in our text, that today, when you hear His voice, harden not your heart. This grace gospel is meant just for you, no matter where you are listening. If you have not yet been able to own this for yourself personally, and if you feel like God is speaking to you and waking you, and you wish to arrive in heaven, all you need to do is believe this word spoken publicly in Jesus' name and precious blood, you can believe all of your sins forgiven. And when you believe this in Jesus' name and blood, dear brother, all sins are forgiven. And when you believe this, that's all you need. The sins are also forgiven in heaven, and they will never be remembered again. Brother and sister, you, together with me, have surely on this endeavoring, you have probably experienced a lot of different things. But I'm sure that the thing that's above all in your foremost in your mind, the thing that is foremost in your mind is that faith is a happy thing. Faith isn't something where you have to just walk with your head hanging and complaining about how hard it is. No, faith is a happy thing when you are able to experience it personally and feel like your sins are forgiven. Then this is a happy thing. But you could think about it like the journey on the wilderness that the children of Israel experienced. And you can think of real life examples. I myself have traveled in a desert before. And one time, what happened to me was that I had a heavy backpack, or I should say he was traveling in the wilderness, and I had so much food that I had enough food to travel for the next day. But I had, at the beginning of my trip, I had a rock in my boot, my hiking boot, but the rock was so small that I decided that I'm not going to take it out until the next rest break. But you can guess what happened to that little rock, or to my foot. That little rock hurt my foot so much that I had to stop eventually and remove that rock. And you can imagine that I had a wound in my foot by that time, and I needed to medicate it. And I have experienced that sin is the same way. It could be a small sin, because God does not see little sins in big sins, even though we as people do often speak in this way, but God only sees sin. And people fall into sin, and God has promised to forgive us our sins. And so when we do fall into small sins, that when the enemy says that this sin is so small that you should not stop your trip and speak about it to anybody, but even the little sin should be put away so that it would not prevent us from traveling and endeavoring. And it's possible that you will have to stop traveling altogether. Surely we want to, and we wish, and our Heavenly Father wishes and wants all of us to one day arrive in the heavenly home. And therefore, in order to make it possible, God has given us His kingdom here on earth, in whose grace care we can live and we can dwell and we can endeavor. And the Heavenly Father wishes to, even at this very moment, you, dear brother and sister, wherever you are, and whatever your name, to deliver good tidings from the Heavenly Father. You can uplift your hearts and believe all sins, all temptations, and even all doubts forgiven in Jesus' name and precious atoning blood. And you, sister and brother, wherever you are listening to these services, at home, or on your sick bed, or if you had to go to work, or whatever the reason was that kept you from arriving at these services, the Heavenly Father would wish to be comforting you, to be refreshing you. You too can lift up your hearts to believe dear brother and sister, all sins forgiven in Jesus' name and precious atoning blood. It is comforting to believe this way, and it is comforting to travel this way when we know that if I stay as a full-fledged member of this kingdom of God, when I wish to endeavor and when I do endeavor, I will one day arrive in the glory of heaven to enter that festival which shall one day begin but never end. It pays to endeavor. It pays to believe. It pays to put away sins away when it attaches. It is always easier to then travel. We should and we can turn to the Heavenly Father on all matters of our lives, even during those happy moments, when we can really feel it in our emotions, how the Heavenly Father has blessed to us. In those times, we should turn to the Heavenly Father and thank Him for all the good things that He has given us. And yet, we can also, when we are in the midst of bumps and trance and temptations and troubles, the Heavenly Father has promised to never reject us, but you and I, and we can all trust that one day He will bring us to the destination, to the heavenly home. Even now we can remain with a comforted heart or mind, believing. I also once again wish to comfort you, brother and sister, and refresh you with this grace gospel. Believe, your sins forgiven in Jesus' name and atoning blood. In Jesus' name and blood, all sins, doubts, and temptations forgiven. In Jesus' name, amen.